Let me hear you make some Holy Ghost crazy noise right now. Let me hear it. Come on, Zion, clap those hands with me. Come on, come on, all God's people. Come on, come on, Mike. Do them up like this, do them up like this, come on. Here we go, let's go.
Franklin, Hosanna. Welcome, everyone, to Fellowship in the Word. Pastor Robert R. Cooper, Sandusky, Ohio. Today's service is brought to you by Single Mother's Guide to Raising Black Boys. Half from Crack to Christ, Part 1. Both books written by me, Franklin Donnie D. Lewis. Pick up some copies to help support our shows. As we appreciate you. Coming up in just a moment, Pastor Robert Cooper.
I get it. What's his name?
We love you.
Christ out of Sunday morning. Yes, sir. Pastor Cooper, good morning.
Hey, praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right here.
Well, we thank God for another opportunity to come out and praise God and deal with some of the things that are pressuring the world and the people of God.
Yes, yes.
You know, the Bible says that what we need to understand is that God takes great interest in his people. He truly has great interest in all people, but he really has great interest in his people, his children, his people, the church, those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ by faith and have received him into their hearts as Savior and Lord and have made a commitment to follow God. God has a special something in his heart for us. The world, as we say, often seems to be coming apart at the seams. There's always things that are going on. But we, the people of God, are, without question, as an institution, the most powerful people on the face of the earth because we have Jesus Christ. We also have been given power from on high. We've got the Holy Ghost. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the world should be looking, amen, to the church for solutions. I notice whenever there are crises, they call on this committee and this group and that group. But it's time for the world to recognize where the true power lies, and that's in God. And God has invested that in his people. And I believe that we as a people of God have a responsibility from this moment forth to use that power, amen, to help maintain and manage what's going on in the earth that God has given us dominion over. My Bible says that he's placed all things under man's feet. So we have to start acting that way. We have a responsibility. We have a commitment to God to do just that. And today, I want to read a little bit about two of God's faithful servants who were in the process of serving God and found themselves faced with a dilemma, and they chose, amen, to do God's service, even though they wound up in a bad situation. And sometimes when you're serving God, you may find yourself faced with some difficulties. But keep this in mind, amen, that God says he will never leave us or forsake us. And as long as we realize that, like the Bible says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear.
Yes.
I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God says in Joshua that no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. I'm speaking to someone right now who may feel like their back is up against the wall.
Mm.
You know, the devil does that.
Yes, he does.
But God says, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. No human being shall stand before you all the days of your life. He says, as I was with Moses, he's speaking to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He says, I will not fail you or forsake you. And the next time you find yourself in a situation where you feel like your back is up against the wall, remember what God says, and when you read the word that God spoke to Joshua, receive it in your heart by faith, and God is saying the same thing unto you.
Yes.
We're living in a time where we need to know some things about our God. We're not just out here empty-handed. We're not just out here empty-minded. We're not just out here empty-hearted, but we're a people that God has equipped, amen, for victory. And we want to show the world victory, the victory that he's given us through Christ Jesus. We want to be ambassadors for Christ. I'm speaking to the people of God, and I'm speaking to the church. Because every day, amen, there's a turn of events. It's going to make you, amen, question your faith. But just remember what God said, amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to please God? You want to please God? You got to have faith.
Yes, amen.
It's that simple. If you want to please God, you got to have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Yes.
So that means we're going to have to do some work. We're going to have to get rid of some of these fears, all of them,
mm-hmm.
and start developing faith. Amen. We got to work out. Amen. Yeah. We got to go to the faith gymnasium and work out in faith, develop our faith, and build up our faith. Praise the living God.
Amen.
And when things come upon us, amen, we need not run from them. We need to use them. Praise the living God as workout material so we can develop our faith.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Strong in the Lord.
Because faith is that something that we can use that God has given us that is so powerful that we can access everything God has for us by faith. That's why without it, it's impossible to please God. You have no conversation with him. You have no commonality with him. You have no relationship with God without faith.
Amen.
So we have to develop our faith. We have to do what God tells us to do. We have to be willing to use our faith and obey God, even when man is saying, "You got to be kidding me! I know you're not fitting to do that." But we don't serve man. I repeat, we don't serve man. We serve God. And serving
yes.
God, amen, takes on a whole lot. And we're going to talk about some of that today, amen. But can we pray? Father God, as we come before you today, amen, we don't come to you pretending that we know anything, but you as Lord, as the Most High God, and we submit ourselves to you, Lord, that you may use us, amen, as vessels of honor and teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. And as we study your word today, Lord, help us to constantly realize the need we have for improvement. And as we move forward, praise the living God, let the world see you in us as your children in everything we do and everything we have and everywhere we go. Let us be ministers of your gospel. Let our lives, amen, be the light of the world. Let our lives, amen, let the world see and know that we are your children, that we might let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify you, O God, our Father, who is in heaven. We thank you today right now, Lord. Meet the needs of all of those who may be on the call, Father. You know more about people than we do, and you know more about us than we know about ourselves. Help us right now, if you will. Even those who may find their backs up against the wall, even those who feel like the walls may be caving in, even those who feel like the bottom is about to fall out in their lives, help them, secure them, stabilize them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Touch that one who's just about to give up and let them know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go with me to the book of Acts. Take your time and go with me to the book of Acts. The 16th chapter, Acts 16. And I'm going to be reading, beginning at the 16th verse. So that's easy. Acts 16, verse 16, please. And when you find it out there in radio land, someone with a Bible, just say amen.
Amen.
Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, this is Paul the apostle and Silas, and they were ministering in the city of Macedonia, serving the Lord. God had already prepared things for them. He had given them a place to stay. He had given them their assignment. They were holding their meetings, praise the living God. But while coming and going, amen, they encountered something that they had to make a faith decision on. And so it says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. A spirit of divination is a demon-possessed woman. How many know there's some demon-possessed people walking around the streets right now?
Yes, amen.
And we encounter them on a daily basis, but most people choose not to say anything or certainly not do what Paul and Silas did. But she had a spirit of divination, demon-possessed. And the Bible says that she met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, not only was she demon-possessed, but she was using her demon-possessed she was using her demon possession for fortune-telling. And the men that recognized what she was doing, they were using her, and they were making a fortune on her fortune-telling. And it says she brought her masters much gain. In other words, they were making big-time money on her fortune-telling. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know, it sounded like she was really advertising for them. And she was really trying to let people know, amen, that who they were and what they were doing. But I'm certain when you're serving the Lord, amen, you really don't need everything to advertise for you. Because every spirit is not of God. And the last thing he needed, I'm certain, was a demon-possessed woman, amen, being his advertiser.
Mm.
He made a choice, and he did what it was that the Spirit of the Lord led him to do. He cast the demon out of her.
Yes.
He cast the demon
yes.
out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the living God, because he had the power to do so. The anointing of God gives you power, and to do God's will, amen, may sometimes put you at odds with those around you, as we'll soon
yes.
find out. She did it many days. Paul didn't cast the devil out the first day. She did it many days. Finally, he said, enough is enough. I'm going to cast this demon out of this woman. How many know when you're anointed by God, amen, you can discern spirits, amen. You can pick up things that people have. They don't have to tell you and show you. You can tell it because the anointing of God gives you that power of discernment.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so the Bible says, I'm back in verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul being grieved, she had enough. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.
Mm.
And he came out the same hour. How many know God doesn't need weeks and months to get things done? The power of God was so great in Paul that when he spoke to that demon began packing immediately. And it took him an hour to get packed because he had a lot of garbage in that woman that he had to get out. And he was out in an hour.
Hallelujah.
In other words, it's checkout time.
Yeah, checkout. Amen.
In other words, get your stuff because you're coming out of her.
Get your
never
stuff.
Never to plague her again. God has given us power to do that. And Jesus said, amen, that we will cast out demons so people won't have to be plagued anymore. Do you not realize the majority of catastrophic things that are taking place globally is because somebody someplace is demon-possessed? You got to be demon-possessed, praise the living God. Just go start a war for no reason whatsoever. You got to be demon-possessed to do the evil things that you're seeing going on
yes.
in our world today. You got to be demon-possessed to just decide you're going to go slay a bunch of folk for no other reason than just the enjoyment of doing it. You got to have a demon in you.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Gang activity, things are going wild, but we're the people of God. We're the ones who were put on earth, amen, to maintain this place. We have the power, and we're going to start using our power. Paul used his power, and he cast the demon out of that woman. Hallelujah. He made a difference. How many know God is looking for some difference makers right now?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. He's looking for some game changers. Uh-huh. Some people who don't mind being a game changer. Knowing you may not always be on the most popular list, knowing you may not be on the hit list, knowing you may not be on everybody's smiling face list, knowing everybody might not want to put their arm around you, at least not in affection list.
I'm
they
here.
May want to grab you by the neck, but they may not want to put their arms around you.
That's me.
Because you're a game changer. Amen. You don't compromise.
Yeah.
You walk by faith and not by sight. You work for God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident in your performance.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And so Paul decided that's what he was going to do. And he did that. And he cast that demon out of that lady. Praise the living God. And she was not to be troubled any longer. And the Bible says in the day demon, he came out the same hour. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, that their fortune-telling empire was destroyed, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Keep up with me. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. Don't be surprised when you serve God the way Paul and Silas served God, and when you serve God the way God tells you to, don't be surprised if trouble don't call you trouble.
Hey.
Yeah, amen.
Yes. Most definitely.
Yes.
Don't be surprised if they don't make you the villain. Because you're doing what's right. You're the light of the world. And when you come into a dark room and your light begins to shine, don't be surprised if they don't villainize you.
Yeah,
they make you the thug and the gangster and the boogeyman or whatever else they want to call you.
Mm-hmm.
But when trouble says you're trouble, amen, that's a compliment considering the source.
That's God's care.
Yep.
That's a compliment considering the source. Because he said, these men, amen, they are troubling our city. In other words, they have wrecked our economy. We were getting rich off this girl. And here they come. That's the demon right out of her. Now she can't tell another fortune.
Right.
So they're trouble to our city. They have just troubled our economy. They have just troubled our mindset. They have just troubled our city ethics. They have just troubled everything about us. They have troubled us socially. They're troublemakers.
Troublemakers.
And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. You know, it doesn't take much to get the multitude fired up. All you gotta do is tell them somebody's making trouble for you. And here they come.
Yeah. You got people doing that now.
And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had beat the daylights out of them, my Bible says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, that means they beat the daylights out of them.
Yes.
And when they had beat the daylights out of them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. In other words, they told the jailer that if anything happens to these, you are through. Charged them to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, this is the jailer, thrust them into the inner prison. He said, I'll take care of that. We'll put them in maximum security. won't nothing happen in there because I know they're not going no place once we put them in the inner prison.
Yes.
I'm about to tell you that somebody out there in the listening audience has been in the inner prison. We're not talking about, amen, as it relates to things that have to do with law, but just life. Because the adversary knows that once he gets you in that lockdown position, in that inner prison, where you feel like you can't do nothing, you can't go no place, you have no hope, he knows he's got you and you're through. But one thing he didn't realize was about to come up. He doesn't know the power of God.
Amen.
No, he praise
God. He put him in the inner prison.
Praise God on that one.
He put him in the inner prison. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. He locked them down.
Yes.
Amen. And the enemy's trying to lock some folk down right now. He knows your potential. He knows your calling. He knows your anointing. And he knows as long as you're free to move around and come and go, he's threatened by you. Because you could pop up at any time. You could say things he can't control because the anointing gives you freedom and the anointing destroys yokes. Yokes is the devil's business. He's always trying to keep people, amen, in bondage.
Ooh. Yes, amen.
So they put him in, so the Bible says, so they made their feet fast in the stocks, put him in bondage. Praise the living God. And at midnight, here we go now, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now listen, doesn't that sound kind of like, ooh, man, Paul and Silas together. They could have been in there arguing and bickering about whose fault it was.
Yeah.
They could have been talking about, you got me into this mess now, look and see. They could have been doing a Laurel and Hardy.
They was thinking.
Yep.
Look at the mess you got me in now. I told you to leave that girl alone.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
I told you to leave her alone. If you had just left her alone, all she was doing was talking. Now look at the mess you got us in. No, rather than doing that, rather than pointing the finger, they began to do just the opposite. And we, as the people of God, we're going to have to learn to do the same thing when we find ourselves in that midnight situation. Midnight.
Yes.
In the middle of the night. The midnight is the darkest hour of the night.
Yes.
When you find yourself going through situations where it seems like you're in your darkest hour, your posture has got to change before God because what they did pleased God. And rather than complain and murmur, rather than mourn and cry and point the finger, they began to pray and sing praises unto God.
Yes, amen.
You want to please God in the middle of your trouble, sing to God, pray to God. Communicate with God. Conversate with God. Worship him.
Yes.
Praise him. Give him honor.
Yes.
Give him glory. Because you know, he knows when you do that. He knows, amen, that you already understand that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
And so they decide to pray and sing praises. You know those songs that we play? That's what we're doing in the middle of our midnight because we're using those songs that we sang and the songs we play, we're using them for praise and worship. We're letting God know that he's good and that he's glorified. And we can do it on and on and on and on, and God is pleased with it.
Yes, amen.
Paul and Silas did it, and Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and watch this, and suddenly, it's important that you understand what I just said, and suddenly, soon as God saw their posture, soon as God heard their prayers, soon as God heard them singing praises, and suddenly, because the Bible says that Paul and Silas prayed and sang, they must have been doing it so loud unto God. It says, and the prisoners heard them. The other prisoners heard them shouting. The other prisoners heard them having church in the jail cell. The other prisoners heard them making noise in the midnight hour. How many people are hearing you make noise? How many people are hearing you praise God? Are they hearing you complain? Are they hearing you murmur? Are they watching you point the finger?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to turn this thing around. It's time to make Paul and Silas teach us a valuable lesson on how to move God, because they move God so mightily, the Bible says, and suddenly, sisters and brothers, right away. How many know God doesn't need a year to make up his mind to rescue you? Suddenly means right away. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Good God Almighty. A great earthquake. What do they call them? 7.0s? I don't know. But it must have been a real tough one. It must have been a tough one because the Bible said that all the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, this is how God wants to move for you right now. He wants to do things suddenly and immediately. He knows the extent of your misery. He knows the extent of your suffering. All you got to do is just call on him by praying and singing praises. And God is coming suddenly on your behalf.
They don't hear you, Pastor. They don't hear you, Pastor. I hear you.
God is coming suddenly. He's moving. He's turning that thing around. He knows the extent of the misery it's causing you. He knows the difficulty it's been causing you. He knows the problem that you're facing. He knows the struggles that you're going through. But he wants you to know, I'm right here with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you whithersoever thou goest.
Yes, amen.
Just can't keep it worldly.
And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bands were loosed. God got deliverance coming. He set the whole prison free. He didn't ask nobody, now, wait a minute, ain't you in here for this, or didn't you do that? He set the whole prison free.
Yes, amen.
Because the system was corrupt.
Amen.
God said, and God wanted to show those who corrupted the system just who God is.
Right, who's in charge? Yes.
And he set the whole prison free. He said immediately. It didn't take 6 months. There was no parole hearings. Immediately, all the doors were opened. And every man's bands were loose. Listen, some of you have been going through some things in life. You've been held up. You've been in bondage. Things have been hindering you. God sent me to tell you that when you start doing like Paul and Silas, immediately he's going to turn your situation around.
Yes.
All right.
Get ready to be set free. Get ready to be set free. No more backs up against the wall.
Mm-mm.
No more walls caving in. No more foundations are falling out from underneath you. It's time to turn this thing around. No matter what they say on the news, God has given us the power. And when we start acting like children of God, we'll start seeing breakthroughs all over the place.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God said, I know my children have gone through misery. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let me send deliverance. Let me send a breakthrough. I know I'll use an earthquake.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, so shouldn't always have to take a death or go into prison to know about it.
And immediately, praise the Lord, and immediately, all the doors were open. Get ready. God's getting ready to open some doors up for someone. I don't know who I'm talking to, but he's getting ready to open some doors up for you. Get ready.
Hear that, Tyrone.
Yes.
And immediately, and it doesn't take long, so you got to have your stuff ready. You got to have your stuff ready before it happens, because you won't have time to pack when he sets you free, because he's going to do it immediately.
Yes.
You know that situation that you've been going through has been plaguing you, and it seems like there's been no end to it? Get ready. Start packing. God's getting ready to do it immediately. When you do what Paul and Silas did, when you start praising, even when folks think you crazy.
Yes.
When you start praying and they see your mouth moving and folks think you're talking to yourself, they think you lost your mind. When you start singing praises and when you can't do nothing but praise God for his goodness.
Yes.
Get ready, because he's getting ready to move in your behalf. Amen. Nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
Here's the good part. Here's a real good part. And immediately all the doors were open and every man's bands were loose. They were set free. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, you know, earthquakes have a tendency to do that. They'll wake you up.
Yeah.
So when the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He said, I'm in trouble now. They're all gone, and they gave me charge over them. Ooh-wee. All he could think about was the magistrates. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We ain't gone no place.
Amen.
We're all here. We're all here. We ain't going any place. We're all still here because God set us free, but he also commanded us to stand still. Sometimes you got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
Then
amen.
He called for a light, verse 29 says, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them up and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I got to bow down to these fellows because something about them is different. They got a different light on them. I'm seeing something on them that lets me know, amen, that God is in this place.
Yes.
Goodness.
And when you serve the Lord with gladness and when you let your light shine, amen, your light will let people see that God is in this place.
Mm.
Yes,
because
yes.
Their situation,
yes.
I know I threw them. I know I put them in the inner prison. I know I put them in maximum security. But they're standing right here, and everybody's free. God must be in this place.
Yes, yes. Amen.
And he said, he brought them, verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. God uses some real powerful ways to get people saved. And he wants to get some people saved right now.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, meaning his family, straight away. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. With
mm-hmm.
all his house. With all of his house. His whole family was celebrating being saved. How many know when God saves you? How many know when Jesus Christ saves you? You stop thinking about what folk did to you. You stop thinking about what folk did. All you want to do is celebrate and praise the Lord.
Yes, yes. Amen.
It's time for that right now, saints. I believe we have been playing with this thing for much too long. It's time that we turn this thing around. It's time that we realize, amen, that if we want to really, really move God, we got to do something that's moving to God. He knows the stripes. He knows they were beat. He knows they were bleeding. He knows bleeding. He knows they were bruised and tattered. He knows they were in there unlawfully. He knows they were in prison for no wrong reason. He knows that they didn't do anything but cast a demon out of a demon-possessed woman. God saw the whole thing.
Yes.
But when Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises unto him, God began to move so mightily, it shook the prison. It set the prisoners free. All the doors were open. And the jailer even got saved. And his entire household. Praise the living God.
Amen. Yes.
We need a testimony like that. We need to be able to say, amen, that God used us. We need to let God use us. We need to let go and let God.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
we've been paralyzed
indeed.
By folk for too long. It's time to let God have his way. Let God's spirit move in our lives. Let God's spirit give us the power to do things that are unusual. It's time that we became, amen, difference makers. It's time that we became game changers.
Stop being selfish and help the next man.
Stop
yes,
being fearful
God.
Also. Praise the living God. I'm not sure who I'm talking to, but praise the Lord.
Bless you, Pastor. I'm nobody.
What we have to do is recognize that this power that God has given us, this anointing, is not just pocket change. We're supposed to use this, amen, to reshape the way the world is, because the world is in chaos, because the people in God are in hiding, and it's time to come out of hiding and start being people, children of the Most High God, and letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give glory unto our Father, which is in heaven.
The real truth.
Amen, 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 and hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm turning it back over to Brother Lewis. And Brother Lewis.
Oh, yes.
We have to let the people know, amen, that this is a word from God. And whatever we do, amen, he's given us formulas for success, how we can overcome if we pray and sing praises unto God. And don't let nobody tell you, oh, you still praising? You mean you still praying? I'm going to pray without ceasing. And I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, because his praises are continually in my mouth.
That's the only reason why we're still here, because we praise him all day, every day.
Brother Lewis.
All right. Well, we have a new listener here with us today, Tyrone. Hey, how are you, Tyrone?
I'm pretty fine, Mr. Lewis, man. Thank you for giving me this number so I can hear that great message. I needed that. I was getting chills and getting nervous because, you know, it's been, you know, how God can just have everything on blank, but you know in your heart that he's doing some type of work. And when I heard this message from that pastor, man, you know, the people really need to hear that. And I tell people, you know, everybody have their hand out. God, I need to. I told my wife, I said, babe, you need to ask God, God, what can I do for you? I said, he don't care about no money, property, nothing worldly. I said, so it's totally about having the truthful understanding of your spiritual life so you can help the next man or woman with the spiritual truth, because it's real. And it's, if you apply yourself, the individual apply yourself, you will see some real results if you can get out of all this worldly temptation first, though. But the pastor was strong in his message. I thank God for it. Bless him and bless all his journeys and all his messages that he bring to him. I understood, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, Donnie D. Mr. Lewis, thank you, man, for giving me that.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
And you know, you said something very interesting, because when it comes to serving God, you know, most people have no difficulty receiving all that God has given us. But few people want to give God all of them. They want all of God. But God wants us to give him all of us.
Exactly. That's what he put us
here. And when we give him all of us, amen, that's the highest form of worship. You can sing the song and clap your hands and pat your feet. That looks good. But if you really want to be a true worshiper, give God your whole self in totality.
Wow.
Being is the highest form of worship.
Bless God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Thank you, Tyrone. And keep that number, because we're here every Sunday morning at 11 here on the West Coast. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there anyone else would like to chime in right now? The phone lines are open. And while we're waiting to see if anybody does, I would just like to say, Pastor Cooper, we prayed last week for my family, my daughters, and God answered those prayers. You know, I'm tickled pink, they would say, although I can't turn pink, but I'm tickled brown, whatever. But yeah, it never fails. All you got to do is talk to him. That's what I do. I talk to him, you know. And when I get in a bad mood or something, I talk to him, and then I go straight to my radio and put on Kirk Franklin's Praise, and I listen to some gospel music and listen to the lyrics mostly to what is being said, because most of the songs that I'm hearing are from the book, you know, the lyrics. So, you know. But I just want to say thank God for it, you know, coming in and helping my family situation. I'm still praying for my sister Aurora, my brother
praise
Jerome, and my auntie Vesta in Las Vegas. Okay. Is there anyone else would like to chime in?
Want to say, just keep talking to the Lord, even on those that you named. Keep talking to the Lord, because there's nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
And what we have to do, and it sounds like you're learning it, we have to start treating God the way God wants to be treated. For too long, we've been treating God like he can't do it. It's time to stop treating God like he can't and start treating God like we know he can.
Yes, and also, there's
nothing too hard for God. You can't ask God for anything too expensive for his budget, because he doesn't have a budget. He has all things.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
You don't go to Food for Less. You can go to Ralph's with him. You know, go to the top of the line. Gelson's.
I need you to help me, bless me, Lord. If I could just bless me. You know, it's okay to ask God for practical things, but God is so great. I'm sure he's waiting on somebody to cry out to him and pray to him instead of just praying, Lord, help me get a house. He wants to give you a county. He wants to give you a city, a county. He wants to give you more than just a house. He wants to give you a subdivision of houses. He wants somebody to believe him like Jabez did. Bless me indeed.
If that's important to you. But can I say one thing? You know, I just want to let the people know, you know, God is personal with the individual. It's not just because we know the truth, because we're blessed enough to be allowed that the Holy Spirit can dwell in us and kind of reveal over the years. That's how I know the truth. So it's personal. It's got to be personal to the individual. It's questions in the Bible. It's been out there. It's questions there. But you, the individual, have to dig personally themselves. We trying to put it out there because it is, God is the real truth. The Holy Spirit is the real truth. And it's got to be personal. It's personal. Just being conscious of him. And the Christian literature is pretty much the truth. The individual definitely can live by it. But it is questions there, so don't be talking about the hypocrite. And, you know, we're just men that's been blessed enough to know the truth about the Holy Spirit. That's why we're blessed enough to take the oxygen that God gives us to try to deliver this message about the truth. It's the only way to live this worldly life, because if it's keep it worldly, that's what you're going to get. You're going to check out worldly, too, and you ain't going to like it. But if it's spiritual and you believe in that real power of God and it's the real truth, but it's personal to the individual, you know, because man will fall. We'll be questioned, you know, looking at a woman or drink, whatever the case is, you know, but that's between the individual and God. You can't judge nobody. But we're trying to put the real truth out. It's personal. It's the real truth. And people need to really listen, because if you don't, people that go gun down, like in Russia, the Russian thing that happened, I know this, a human person can only be under the influence. His mind ain't in the right space to actually do something like that. He ain't in this working out, drinking milk and cookies, just doing that to people. His mind is altered. And it usually takes a substance to actually have the real courage to actually do something like that.
Yeah, he would be demon possessed, I believe.
Control over everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And people are insecure, and when you're insecure, of course, drugs and alcohol is the most powerful. That brain makes an insecure person not insecure. I've been there. And
me too.
You know, you can get real good courage under that, but if you're without it, you don't even think it's two different individuals. So the substance is so powerful because everybody's insecure, and they hide those insecurities by overdose and drugs, maximizing it. And, you know, they don't want to be here in the first place. They don't love themselves. That's why you can't love them if you go to that. You know, nobody want to walk around this planet completely not in their right mind and doing damage to the next person. God's not going to allow that. This corrupt law we got is, you know, it's humans. Everybody with a title, but everybody, you strip all those titles, everybody's just a human, just like everybody else. Everybody want to provide for them family. Everybody would like to work and do the right thing. You know, everything is really conditioned, domesticated thinking. But I don't want to go no further than that. But God is real. The Holy Spirit is real, and it's personal. God do love you. It's real. The Holy Spirit is real.
Oh,
you got to be conscious. Try to listen to the truth And that's where it all starts at. But you got to get in there yourself, and it shouldn't always have to take a death, prison, or something like that for the individual to wake up and smell the real coffee.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yes.
You are so right, Tyrone, because all the time that I was doing crack cocaine, I didn't care about anybody else. You know, I'm not that type of person, but when that evil spirit got in me of that crack cocaine, I didn't care about anybody else but where my next hit was coming from, you know, until I got on my knees and prayed to God to take me out of that world, and he did.
But I'm going to tell you, Brother Lewis, God knew your heart in the first place. Your mind could be off, but he know that the heart can't lie. I don't know if you can write a novel, speak properly or strongly, but, you know, the heart can't lie. That's why I love God so much, because he seen you when you was in them troubled times. He knew you was, you know, everybody else seeing you selfish and just in your own world, but he knew your real heart. That's why you survived that.
That's why I'm like still here.
Romans chapter 5, verse
3. Amen.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 5, verse 3.
All right. Is there anyone else here on the line?
Okay, yeah.
I see some phone numbers here. Marsh Deez, are you here? I guess not. Hope. Okay. Well, anybody else? Okay. Well, Pastor Cooper.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I guess
I'm
it's about that time. Would you like to close it out for us?
Who, me?
Pastor Coop. Oh, but he just dropped. Let's see if he picks back up. But in the meantime, I'm going to play a little music.
My mind stays on you, seeking your face. I need you to show me what to do. I never know who I'm gonna meet. I wanna give them the missing piece. Lord, help me show them you.
It's my pleasure
walking hand in hand with you. I never know what you're gonna do. There's something new in every day. Nothing really left for me to say. It's my pleasure, taking my time, setting my pace. I know what it takes to win this race. Sure don't wanna miss your smiling face.
Can't stop this feeling. You got me rocking and reeling.
Ooh, I'm doing what fulfills me.
Okay, Pastor, get you dropped off over there.
Oh, you got disconnected somehow.
Okay. Well, remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're back next Sunday, 11 on the West Coast, 2 on the East, and 1 in the Middle. Fellowship in the Word. I guess he dropped off again. All right, well, we're about to drop off right now. Thanks, everybody.